good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, January 27th, 2016, 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you. And yesterday was a very sad day here at the radio station because a gentleman who was on quite a bit with us via telephone, legendary actor, star of The Godfather, great movie, star of Barney Miller, great television series, and star of a big Snickers commercial with Betty White a few years ago during the Super Bowl, Abe Vigoda, passed away at the age of 94. Abe was on this show, I was checking this morning, Abe was on this show four times last year. Just in 1 year he was on four times, and he was always a delight. He was on before his 94th birthday last February. He was on when David Letterman retired. He was on talking about age at one point last year, and also was on just commenting on some news stories late last year. He was a one-of-a-kind guy. We certainly are going to miss him. I remember his birthday very well, February 24th, because it's the same as my birthday, different years. In fact, we talked about that last year when he was on with us about a week before his 94th birthday. Just sad to see him go. But today we're going to pay tribute to him in this hour. In the bottom half of the hour, we're going to be joined by Todd Bridges, who you probably best remember as a star of the TV series Different Strokes. But before that, he did Abe Vigoda's sitcom Fish, which was based upon his character Fish from the TV series Barney Miller. And here in the first half of the program today, we're going to be joined by Carol Vigoda Fuchs, who is the daughter of Abe Vigoda. So we're going to talk to her about the life and times of Mr. Vigoda. But before we go to Carol, I want to play a little bit of that interview from last February, not even a year ago, about a week before February 24th. I don't have the exact date with me. Here's Abe Vigoda talking about turning 94 years old last year. Hope you enjoy this. And here we go.
Yes, I'm going to be 94, February 24th, and I feel great. That's because I've been an athlete all my life. I've been jogging as much as 2 miles a day up to 3 years ago around Central Park. And then as a result, I have energy and health. I advise, there's no such thing as old age if you exercise every day a little bit. Take a walk, do something. Regardless of age, you will find that at the age of 94, you will be up with Scott Spears again, as I am. I would also like to say that in recent times, I have been working more than I ever anticipated at this age in the 90s. For example, I did a Snickers commercial with Betty White, which won the Super Bowl. Imagine at my age winning a Super Bowl. So, folks out there, forget the age. It's just how you feel. We can live to a 135 years of age.
He was a one-of-a-kind guy, and we all should heed that advice. Joining us via telephone, Abe Vigoda's daughter, Carol Vigoda Fuchs. Carol, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
You know, your dad was one of my favorite guests. I think I told you that last year when we were trying to set something up at Christmas. Just to hear his voice again here today puts a smile on my face.
I think he puts a smile on everyone's face.
What do you think it was about him that people loved? And they did love him.
I think what people loved about him and what they saw in him, and he used to say this all the time, I'm a man of force all seasons. And I think that he looked at everybody the same, no matter where you came from, what kind of money, education, what color you were, everybody didn't judge anybody. And I think people feel that. They feel that you're looking at them, not who they are or their achievements.
You know, what I did not realize until I started talking to Mr. Vigoda on the telephone, he was a... I never thought he was not an astute man, but this was an extremely smart man, an extremely well-spoken man. Not Fish, not the characters that he played on television, but he never looked down on anybody, just like you said.
Correct, correct. And I got to say, he was a smart man. He started in Shakespeare, and as a little boy, he was asked to speak, and he spoke Shakespearean English, and they were amazed. He always had a good... he was wonderful with the language. He really was. He was very smart, and I want to make something clear to everybody, because I find it amazing, that this man had his mind up until the moment he passed away in his sleep. He was on the money on air. He might forget a name or two, but I do that too. But he was alert about everything.
Carol, you set us up perfectly there, because this is another clip I wanted to get in here real quick from one of our interviews last year. We talked about Mr. Vigoda and his Shakespeare, and this was kind of an interesting moment from one of those interviews. Here we go. Abe Vigoda on this program last year.
As a young actor for a gentleman by the name of Joseph Papp in Central Park. In fact, I did... in Central Park, The Tempest, and many other roles. And I worked for Joseph Papp in Central Park, called The Woman Rink, and so forth and so on. And then I went into television.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?
Yes. Methinks I am a prophet, you inspired, and thus expiring do foretell of him. His rash, fierce blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Like vanity, insatiate cormoran, consuming means soon preys upon the soul. And go on and on, this royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth of Mars. Yes, I did Shakespeare, and I retain the dialogue. That's what's so good about it. My mind is still pretty good for 94 years old.
You know, I just found that amazing, Carolyn. I think that illustrates your point.
Yes, it does. I find it amazing, too.
What was it about him, though, in your opinion, that he got cast as these... characters. I remember when I was talking with him last time, he was talking about Fish, and he said they described the character to him as a guy who's very tired and who has to go to the restroom a lot.
Right. He just has that old face he always had. However, he had no wrinkles, but even as a young boy, they would cast him into these parts, even when he was a little boy in school, of an old person. His teacher said to him one day, "You got the part." And he says, "Well, why did you pick me?" "Because you look old."
He also had a tremendous sense of humor that I don't think people would expect him to have. If you look at him on YouTube, I was looking at some of the clips, he would do just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that was about him?
He I don't know. He could do just about anything. I mean, he was funny. We meet some people, and they were from France or Italy, and all of a sudden I look at him, and all of a sudden he's got this accent, and he's talking to them in their accent. He just and perfectly. I don't know. He's... God, ask me another.
Yeah. I as I said when we started this interview, I was incredibly shocked yesterday when that came across that he had passed away. And I spoke to him last December on the telephone, and I didn't think things were... I mean, he's 94, of course, but didn't sound bad at all. What exactly was the end like? What happened in the last few months?
Well, nothing, really. He was fine. He was still... We were still doing our usual Sunday brunch, which we did, and we always had a variety of people that joined us at the same place in Manhattan. He still lived in his Manhattan apartment independently. It was just nothing. The man is healthy as a horse. He was never as sick a day in his life. He was strong as an ox. He had the body of an 80-year-old, he was told by the doctors. And so what happened was we were getting this big snowstorm, and I said, look, you got to stop this. I need you to come to my house. Come to my house, make life easy for me and you. Snowstorm is coming. So he came to my house. We set him up here, and he was fine. Everybody came and visited him. He had a good time. And I don't know, I got up in the morning, I just whizzed by him, good morning, and went into the kitchen. And I came back, and I said, hey, and then I walk over to him, and I start shaking, wake up, you know, get up. And he didn't wake up. So he must have just passed within a few seconds of my walking in to get coffee. I say God wanted him, it was his time, and God took him. And that's it. And you know what? I want to die that way, peacefully, in no pain, and healthy.
Absolutely. There were some reports I was reading yesterday that he had been in hospice care.
Yes. I'd like to explain that, and I really would like to explain that because the family is very upset about it. And yes, there was a gentleman who claimed he was, he's a distant relative of the family. And I don't know what possessed him to go on the Phish website. Remember, he had done the PHISH concert in October in Atlantic City. And I don't know, this kid goes on there, and he writes this stuff. And for what reason, I don't know. And that's what happened. And then, of course, TMZ decided to run with it. And... But it is falsification. It is absolutely not true. That's all I can say.
You know,
he was healthy.
I am glad to hear that. What was the last day like with him? What was Monday like?
Monday, he had three of his friends over from Manhattan. Two of his friends from Manhattan came over to have lunch with him. And they were chatting and, you know, as usual. And that was it. Yeah, Monday was great. That's why it really was quite a shock yesterday.
For people out there who might go through something similar with an aging parent, how have you been impacted? I know it's such a short time, but what's it been like the last couple days?
Well, for me, the last couple of days has been a whirlwind, and I'm the person in the family who takes care of everything. So right now I'm just taking care of everybody, taking care of the media. I haven't had a chance to feel anything yet, except that I know that he had a wonderful life, and at 94, I feel that God wants him, and I feel peace about it. And the happiest thing for me is that I finally got him to come to my house, where he always wanted to come eventually, to come in my house and be in my home with me, his daughter, when he passed away and he wasn't alone. That was his greatest fear, was to be alone. And I am very thankful for that, and I'm at peace with that.
And for people who think about God and how things happen, that's a very interesting piece of information that he just happened to be there at that time. Thank goodness for him. What kind of dad was Abe Vigoda?
He's great with kids. He's he would always come to my Ringwood home, and my father is a regular guy. Okay, he's not one of these celebrity type people. And he'd take the kids to McDonald's for ice cream. He'd go to the supermarkets with them. He'd do all these kind of things with him and with me. Even when I was pregnant with them, he was always up and ring with. He loved the supermarkets. They all know him in every shop right around and Stop and Shop. He would take the kids, and he had a trail of fans behind them. The kids were so used to it, it didn't even faze them. Yeah, he would sit and tell stories, and he had a little skit he used to do, and my son was supposed to be the illustrator. We were going to make a cartoon out of it, and he would do this voice, which I have laryngitis now, I can't even do it, but he would do this voice, and it would have been a great cartoon for the kids, and he entertained them. And he loved to entertain them, and he loved to be only with he was comfortable with, and he knew for a long time adults, his children, though he don't care, many of them could come whether he knows them or not, you know. He was good with them, really good.
How was he with you when you were growing up? What was it like? I mean, he had a very successful career going on.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Growing up, you know, he did the regular stuff. And then when he finally got into some of the heavier roles and things, he had to move to California. He moved to Beverly Hills. He needed to be there. I didn't go with him. I stayed with family because I wanted to finish school here. I really should have went, but... So he would always come out here. He was always coming and visiting every possible chance. So we'd go out to his Beverly Hills home. Growing up with him was very normal. I guess it's like having a father who has to go away for business.
You talk a little bit about TMZ there, and I think they were the first to break the news yesterday to a certain extent. And the headline read, Abe Vigoda has passed away or dead or something of that nature. Not a hoax. And I talked with Abe about this, and I think everybody did. He had this thing that followed him around that people thought he was dead for many years. Mm-hmm. And I want to play a clip of him talking about that on the show because I think he took that in really great stride. And here's Abe Vigoda last year talking about the idea that a lot of people thought he had passed away. Here we go. You know, Abe, there's been this thing for years that people thought you were dead. Do you think that has worked against you in your career?
Well, I wasn't that crazy about it, but I accepted it. That's what it was. People thought I was dead. And I would walk into a Bloomingdale's department store. The salesman said, "You know, you look like the late Abe Vigoda." I said, "Oh, really? Well, then I think I'll buy a suit." And now that you mentioned that, why? Because I'm alive, young man. The man couldn't believe it.
And that again illustrates his sense of humor about things. Did anything faze him in life?
No. You see that face that he has, that deadpan face? That's Abe. Mm. Nothing fazed him. I have to tell you, he was a feisty fella, and he was bent on independence and his way or the highway, nothing fazed him. Yeah, everything was okay. Everything rolled off. I think that's probably why he lived so long, because he didn't have that stress that so much of us have nowadays.
When he did that Snickers commercial years ago, we obviously know what it did for Betty White's career, and a lot of people certainly recognized Abe in that. What was that time like for him? He was in his 90s then.
Yes, I went with him. We had a great time. We had just had a great time. He loved it. I always say Betty White got the bigger part because Betty White kept falling in the mud all the time, and I had to keep changing her clothes and doing her hair, and kept shortening my father's time because he had a much bigger part there. But anyway, he's fine. It's fine. The less I have to do, it's okay. He didn't let it bother him. I was always the one. you know. So it was a lot of fun. We had a good time because, you know, we really had a great time. Yep.
Did he at this point in his career still get a lot of offers to do things?
Yes. The last thing he did was Chiller Theater in October for a couple of hours, which he just had enjoyed so much, and he's done that before. He had gotten a lot of offers. He turned anything down that required a plane. He said, I don't want to go on a plane anymore. I don't have to do these things if I don't want to. I don't want to go on a plane. So he did things, people would come, he'd do some voiceovers, he'd do things, people come to his apartment. You want to come to his apartment? Yay, come on. He did something with Charlotte Rambling, we did in New Jersey, in Newark, at a junkyard. And he did that, that was pretty recent. And that, because he had just had to go to New Jersey, like going to my house. So a theater was in New Jersey, like going to my house. Anything with a plane, he turned down.
Did he get many roles on stage? I remember one of the final conversations I had with him. He said the one thing he would still have liked to have done was a musical. He wanted to do a musical.
Great. Does he sing and dance?
Well, he told me he wasn't much of a singer, but he said he would still like to do a musical.
Sure, he can get up there and do a little tap dance like he did for his 90th birthday. I'm sure he would have.
Did he have something he was most proud of in his career?
I think he's just proud of his accomplishments and that he, as he puts it, I made it. There are so many out there that will never make it, that never made it. And he said, you know, he's an icon. You know, people spot him anywhere. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that he made it, and he'll always be remembered. And I think that's the biggest thing.
I think you're right. I have a couple more questions, but before I do that, I asked him in one of our last interviews how he wanted to be remembered. And here's that little clip. Abe Vigoda is...
Abe Vigoda is a quiet man.
At 142 years old, Abe, when you finally leave us, how do you want to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered for my work in the theater. It has been my life's work. Very few people start their first theater show at the age of 6 and doing a 50-year-old Baron von Richenhofen who finds his wife in the closet with a strange man.
I think that's a nice way to be remembered.
Yes, yes, yes.
When, what is it like, because so few of us ever have this happen, what's it like to see your father on television?
I just see him on television. I'm proud of him. I'm proud that he has accomplished something in life. But I don't look at it any differently than he's on TV, he's doing his job. That's how my kids look at it. This is what he does for a living. It's just very commonplace.
Is there something that is your favorite that he did?
My favorite thing? No, I don't think I could think of something that is my favorite. Everything he's done, I thought was great. And I really don't have a favorite. I don't try to play favorites, not even with my kids. So, no, I don't have a favorite.
Who
was good?
For all the people he worked with, who did he have close relationships with?
My father was a person that mostly stayed with his family and regular people, I'll use that word, not in the business. He didn't mingle with people in the business except on a business level.
Was there any particular reason he decided to live in New York and not Los Angeles?
Well, he always had two homes. He lived in Beverly Hills, and he lived in Manhattan. His apartment in New York is probably 30 years old that he's had that apartment. No, he always had a home on both coasts. So the reason he left Beverly Hills was when his second wife, Beatrice, had passed away, he felt, I don't want to live here. There's nobody here for me. She's gone. And he said, I want to be close to family. And we're all New Yorkers. So he gave that up, packed up his truck, and he moved into Manhattan, and that's where he stayed.
Has there been something surprising in the last 2 days since he left us, something that sticks out in your mind, a favorite story or an instance that's really surprised you?
A favorite story? I know, I'm asking everybody for favorite stories because we want to do that at his service on Sunday. And I do have one story. I'll share that with you. And we would walk down the street in Manhattan, and this homeless person, you know, missing teeth, hair all dirty and straggly, pulling his wagon full of his belongings. Hey, Abe, how you doing? Drunk as ever. How you doing? My father says, hi. Hi. And, you know, he acknowledged this man.
My goodness. How are you going to remember him?
I'm going to remember him as the feisty old coot that drove his daughter crazy.
Well, Carol, I tell you, I know it's an interesting time for you, not the best of times, but I can't thank you for enough for coming on, because he was a generous, brilliant, funny, compassionate, interesting guy to have on, and I think that's why we had him on so much. I can't ever remember him saying no to anything. He was just that type of guy, and always made the effort to do things, and I will miss him quite a bit, and my condolences are certainly to you and your family. And but you know what, we'll have him for years to come on television and through the movies he made.
Yes we will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Carol Vagoda Fuchs, the daughter of the late Abe Vagoda. Hard to say that, the late Abe Vagoda. Coming up here before the program's off today, we are going to talk with Todd Bridges, who starred in Fish with Abe back in the 1970s when Mr. Vagoda had his own television series. So we will have him on before the hour's up here, and remember Abe Vagoda. Now, let's see here. We played some of these clips. Speaking of Fish here, let's play a little, well, we'll actually save that for Todd Bridges when he comes along. But if you have a memory of Abe Vagoda that you'd like to share, give me a call. 740-383-9944. If memory of Abe Vagoda that you would like to share on the air, I know a lot of people grew up watching him. Give me a call, 740-383-9944. Also, don't forget, the Marionaires Concert coming up live this coming Sunday, January 31st, 4:10 to 5 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. The live Marionaires Concert this coming Sunday, January the 31st, 4:10 to 5 p.m. Coming up tomorrow on the program here, 12:10 to 1 p.m., we'll have Hap Dollar Jr., the son of the former mayor of Marion, Hap Dollar. So he'll be on live in studio with us tomorrow discussing the life and times of his father. I believe Hap was an attorney here in Marion. So we'll have Hap Dollar Jr. talking about his father, a mayor a whole lot of people don't remember, but we're going to remember him tomorrow. And Bobby Lewis from 1:10 to 2 p.m. Bobby Lewis is the performer of the hit song Tossin' and Turnin'. Do people remember Tossin' and Turnin'? Bobby Lewis is the original performer of that song. Matter of fact, as we wait for Todd Bridges, we might play a little Tossin' and Turnin' here on WWGH Radio. And remember, it's tomorrow, 1:10 to 2 p.m., January the 28th, that Bobby Lewis will be along with us right here live on WWGH Radio. So don't forget that. And Charlie Evers, Thursday morning from 10:10 until 12 noon. But right here is Tossin' and Turnin'. Bobby Lewis on WWGH Radio. Well, as a matter of fact, we might have Tossin' and Turnin' here. Okay, I think I figured out the problem. And away we go.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. Just thinking of you. Maybe things weren't right. Well, I was tossing and turning. Turning and tossing. Tossing and turning all night. I kicked the blankets on the floor. Turned my pillow upside down. On the light, I pulled down the shade, went to the kitchen for a bite, rolled up the shade, turned off the light, I jumped back into bed, it was the middle of the night, the clock was striking four, couldn't get you off my mind, I heard the milkman at the door, cause I was tossing and turning. Was striking four. I couldn't get you off my mind. I heard the milkman at the door. Cause I was tossing and turning. Yeah, tossing and turning. Day, I was a tossing.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised a wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty. But it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire. Do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. Because well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me. Scott Spears back with you on this Wednesday, January the 27th, 2016, 1:49 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're remembering a gentleman who was on this program several times, one of the great character actors in the history of show business, Abe Vigoda, who sadly passed away yesterday at the age of 94. Beginning of the hour, we were joined by his daughter, Carol Vigoda Fuchs, and now very glad to bring to these microphones his co-star from the TV series Fish, who you might remember better for his later work on a TV series entitled Different Strokes, Todd Bridges. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Doing very well. Todd, what years was Fish on? I'm trying to remember.
Fish was on, I think it was 77, so it had to be 74, 75, 76, Seven Strokes was on.
How did you get the role on Fish?
Actually, I did a Barney Miller, and Danny Arnold said he wanted to write a TV show for me, specifically involved in it. So they gave Abe Vigoda a spinoff, and then Danny Arnold said, I want you to join Abe Vigoda. So Fish was in Abe Vigoda, and they put everyone else around us. That's why if you ever watch the show, a lot of shows were about me and Abe Vigoda, us, our turmoil, and us trying to work things out always.
What was it like working with Abe Vigoda?
Abe Vigoda was one of the nicest men to ever work with. He was like a father figure to me. I remember one time, this director was very mean to us, and Abe Vigoda stuff for us kids, and he said, told him, you don't ever yell at them children. He goes, they're children, they're good actors, and I don't want you ever talking to them that way, or I will not have you on this set. Mm-hmm. He was like a mentor to me, you know, and when I went through all my problems, I was going through it, he never once said anything bad about me. He always said that I was a good kid and I would find my way back, you know, and he was just a great person to work with. He was calm. He always made you laugh. He was always the same person. He never changed, you know. And I've worked with hundreds of actors, you know. And I compare Abe Vigoda right up there with Conrad Bain. So for me, this is another sad loss for me that I've lost someone that, you know, that I looked at as a mentor in this business who was just a wonderful person to work with. You know, he was great, you know. And then, you know, I heard somebody say worth something in that stupid magazine. I won't mention it. That he was difficult to work with, which is a bunch of crap. Abe Vigoda was the easiest guy to work with and one of the nice people to work with. You know what they always say, do not work with children and animals, that some actors can't do it? Abe Vigoda could work with anybody, children and animals. He was just that kind of person. You know, he was just a wonderful human being.
He really was. And like I say, Abe was on this show just four times in the last year when he was 94 years old. And one of those times, he talked about Fish. And I want to play a little clip of that for everybody out there in listener land. Here's Abe Vigoda last year talking about the TV series Fish. When you see Fish in your mind today, what comes out of your mouth?
Well, he's sort of a very tired, he's a tired guy, but very astute. But everybody thinks he is exhausted, goes to the bathroom a lot, and that's the kind of guy he was. I did Fish because I knew a man I played handball with who was like Fish. So I took a human being who was like Fish, who could hardly walk, but he played handball. He was good at it. And then I did it. I did another human being, not Abe Vigoda.
How close was Abe Vigoda to Fish?
Abe Vigoda's personality wasn't Fish, but he played Fish really well. His personality was a lot different. He was a lot more talkative, and he was really good with the kids. He always sat down and had lunch with us or talked with us. Like I said, he was great with children, and he would not let anybody disrespect the children. Like I said, a director hollered at us one time, and he took that director aside, and he set the director straight. He really respected the children and really worked well with us, and he loved children. He loved people. And that was a guy who didn't have a racist bone in his body. He loved, treated everyone the exact same. He was very respectful to many people, and he was just Abe Vigoda. He was this your dad. He was Abe Pagoda, man. He was the greatest guy I ever met, you know, on my show. And that's when I was newly started on a television series. And to get that kind of person to work with was amazing, you know. I learned a lot from him by watching him because he was in the business so long. And we always had talks, you know, and I'll never forget Abe Pagoda. You know, it's a passing for me that hits me hard again because I've lost so many people in the last couple of years. And by losing Abe Pagoda now, you know, and I know he lived a long life, but still, it hurts. You know, it hurts me, man, you know, and it makes me sad, you know, because I won't be able to talk to him anymore. But I hope one day I get to see him again, you know.
When you would talk to him in later years, a matter of fact, when was the last time you saw or spoke to him, and what was the conversation?
I spoke to him on his birthday, his birthday. I think it was his 90th birthday I talked to him. And Abe Pagoda knew right away who it was. He goes, "Todd, how you doing, son?" I go, "I'm doing good." He goes, "I've been watching your things. You're doing a lot of good work, and I'm very, very proud of you." He goes, "You know, and I never, when people would say to me, oh, that kid is no good, I would tell them that he's not no good. He's a good kid, and he's going to work his way back, and he's going to get his career back." He goes, and you proved to me right, and it made me feel so good to see you doing well. So, you know, talked about, you know, this show and other people on the show and that kind of stuff. It was great, you know. It really was.
We had his daughter Carol on in the top of the hour, and she said that, you know, these reports that he was on hospice were not true, that he just peacefully...
No, it wasn't. He was in perfect health.
Yeah, peacefully.
He was in perfect health.
Peacefully passed away in his sleep. When you got the word yesterday, what was it like?
Well, it's interesting because I got the word from Lenny Berry because I didn't know yet. And Lenny Berry called me, and I was shocked and blown away. And I was driving in my car, and I just broke down crying again because, you know, I'm gonna miss him. You know, it's like losing Conrad Bain. I'm losing people, and I remember my mother telling me, the older I get, I'm gonna start losing a lot of people, and that was one of them. Again, a true art. He was true a craftsman of his art. He was brilliant at what he did, you know. You look at his work in The Godfather, he was brilliant. You look at his work in anything he did, he was always different in everything he did. And when I got the call, man, I just broke down in tears because it was again another person that I lost who I actually really cared for and loved, you know.
When you look at Abe Vigoda's body of work, is there something that sticks out for you that you really think, boy, that was a great performance?
Oh, come on, The Godfather, what a performance in The Godfather. That was a performance. He really played that role really well, and my favorite scene is when he knew he's about to die, and he said, "Mike, is there anything you can do for me, Mike?" You know, like, for old times, and he's like, "No, we can't do anything." What a great line that was, right? Because he knew it was just time to go at that point, and there was nothing he can do to stop it.
Absolutely,
you know, and I loved The Godfather, and you know that's one of the biggest movies you know made, and it was directed by a huge director, and everyone in that movie was successful. You know, there weren't any singers or rappers in that movie. You know, I have nothing against that, but it was pure actors in that movie, and everyone did their role perfectly, and especially Abe Pagoda, he really played that role well.
Want to play,
you know,
this?
And I think he'll be missed because of that. You know,
absolutely. I want to get this clip in real quick because there was a thing, and I'm sure you were aware of it, and he was aware of it, that Abe Vigoda had passed away. That followed him around for about the last 30 years, and
it happens to all of us.
Yeah, well, he had some fun with it when he was on with us last year, and I think this is a fun clip, and I think he would like this. So here's Abe Vigoda on this program last year. You know, Abe, there's been this thing for years that people thought you were dead. Do you think that has worked against you in your career?
Well, I wasn't that crazy about it, but I accepted it. That's what it was. People thought I was dead. And, I was walking to a Bloomingdale's department store. The salesman said, "You know, you look like the late Abe Vigoda." I said, "Oh, really? Well, then I think I'll buy a suit." And now that you mentioned that, why? Because I'm alive, young man. The man couldn't believe it.
And that's
see, and that's the thing, unfortunately, that all celebrities have to deal with. I've died 3 times on the internet too. We all have to deal with that, you know. And that's the unfortunate part about it, you know, about this business. They start these rumors, get these rumors going, you know, and we just kind of laugh at it because, I mean, it's interesting, you know, because I read one time, I was reading in the internet, and I read that I died in a car crash, and I'm like, huh? And I said to myself, boy, I'm not going to that intersection if I died over there. I said, man, I don't want anything to happen to me. I'm going to stay away from that intersection, you know?
You know, Todd, I was so, just... Well, go ahead.
You know, no, go ahead. What were you saying?
Todd, I was just thinking, you have gotten to work with three of the people who I consider the greatest actors of all time. Abe Vigoda, Conrad Bain, who you've mentioned, and thank goodness she's still with us, Charlotte Ray.
Oh, yeah. And you know, let me tell you something. I worked with many, many big stars today, and I knew many big stars. And I will tell you this, the big stars were wonderful. They were always so nice and so great, you know. And I think sometimes now, some of these people that are coming from this reality stuff, you know, I don't know what their body of work is, but when you look at an actor and his body of work, and you see what he's come across, you realize that those people are talented, and we've been in the business a long time. You know, I'm going on 45 years in the business, you know, and I'm able to be successful in it. You know, and Abe Vigoda, she was in it for a long time, you know. And Conrad Bain was a long time. And Charlotte Ray is a long time. And thank God she's with us. You know, and I talk to Charlotte Ray often. You know, I see her often and talk with her. You know, and it's amazing. You know, these people were real celebrities, but they were really nice celebrities. They weren't made up. They weren't fictitious. They weren't fake. You know, they were real people. And they liked kids. Because they had their own kids, you know, and Abe Vigoda was one of those people that you just wanted to hug him whenever you saw him, and he always hugged us, you know, he always would tell us the stories about business, you know, when we were really young, you know, because really the only two people from that show that continued to work, you know, Denise Miller did a little bit of work, but really me and Abe Vigoda were the only ones that really, you know, kind of worked and continued to work, and I think a couple of people now, Lenny Barry, he kept us in contact, he's a great guy too. He's going to start back, I guess, in this. But, you know, it's a tough business. You know, it really is. And for me and Abe Vigoda to be able to continue to work in this business that is a tough business is a tough challenge in itself, you know. It really is. You know, and like I said, when I was having my ups and downs, Abe Vigoda never once said anything bad about me. Never once. And people were, and they were trying. The media was trying to get something bad, to say something bad about me. And he wouldn't do it because he knew how I was, and he knew how I was as a child. And he knew I just kind of lost my way, you know, and eventually I found my way back, you know, and he said the same thing, you know. I proved what he said. You know, good people always find their way back. You may lose your way eventually, but you will find your way back. And the thing about it is, I don't blame Hollywood. It has nothing to do with Hollywood. Nothing to do with it. Hollywood, it's not Hollywood. It's just what happens to you sometimes. Everybody loses their way, but they point the finger at Hollywood, you know. And for someone to say that Abe Vigoda was difficult to work with is ridiculous, and they should be ashamed of themselves. They obviously did not know the man.
Absolutely.
He was not hard to work with. He was the easiest guy to work with in the world, and he was kind. He was kind-hearted. He was sweet, and like I said, hold on a second, let me turn this thing, my game thing down. There was nobody that can tell me that this man did not love everyone, because he loved everyone.
I think
that's
you're
the kind of person he was.
I think you're exactly right. And another person who worked on Fish, who I loved too, had the chance to interview before she passed away, was Florence Stanley. I love Florence Stanley.
Yes, that was another wonderful lady.
I thought
and
she
when
was.
Florence Stanley passed away. I wasn't as close to Florence Stanley as I was to Abe Vigoda, but Florence Stanley was also sweet to us. She was a wonderful woman to everyone too. She treated the kids with respect and dignity too.
Todd, before we wrap up here, I'm going to play the clip of, because I asked Abe when he was on last year how he'd like to be remembered, and then I want you to let me know how you're going to remember him. But here's Abe Vigoda from last year.
Abe Vigoda is
a great life if you have fun.
Abe Vigoda is
radio institution you
a quiet
miss.
Man.
Every Wednesday and Thursday from 10:10 a.m.
At 142 years old, Abe, when you finally leave us, how do you want to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered for my work in the theater. It has been my life's work. Very few people start their first
theater show at the age of 6 and doing a 50-year-old Baron von Richenhofen who finds his wife in the closet with a strange man.
Todd Bridges, how will you remember Abe Vigoda?
I will remember Abe Vigoda as being a father figure, a wonderful person, a person that you wanted to hug, a person that would defend the innocence of children, would not allow people to, you know, mess with children. So I will remember always being a loving and caring and a very considerate person of other people's feelings. That's how I remember him.
He's a legend. We're going to miss him. Todd, I hope you can come back at another time.
He is a legend. He's more than a legend. That man has a body of work that's amazing. And like he likes to remember, and his theater, and that's what Comrade Bain always talked about, their work in the theater, you know, and it was all truly amazing, and his work was amazing.
And he
it's
will,
like me, what am I going to be remembered as? You know, my body of work. That's what I'll be remembered as, you know, and you know, a kid that actually started in the business a long time ago, but actually fought me back from addiction. You know, I'm 22 years sober. I fought my way back from addiction. You know, I help people to overcome addiction. And I want to be remembered as helping people, as being a person that can actually go out and talk to every kind of people to stop this horrible disease of addiction. That's what I want to be remembered as. But Abe Vigoda, he's just a wonderful man. And I will always love that guy. And I'm talking to his daughter now, you know, a lot more. And I just think that, you know, from what I heard, an article that wrote that he was difficult to work with, that's full of crap, you know, and it's not true. And it's sad that people will say things that are untrue when a person passes away. It's a really awful thing, but I will remember Abe Vigoda as being the sweetest, most gentle guy that I used to hug when I was a kid, and he used to hug me back, and we had so many scenes together, and, you know, it was just great. It was wonderful.
And
I will always remember him.
And those scenes will live on forever. Thank goodness. Todd
they
Bridges.
Will live on forever.
Todd Bridges, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you can come back in the future.
I will. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. And all the prayers goes out to Carol, you know, and the rest of his family for what they're going through right now.
Absolutely.
I hope everyone, you know, remembers to pray for them. You know, this is a difficult moment for them. And the last thing we want to do is have people writing these terrible things that are untrue, you know. So, you know, Carol, I love you, and I loved your father was wonderful. And, you know, I know where he's at. He's in the right place, and one day I will see him again.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, guys.
We're way over on time, but hey, remembering Abe Vigoda is worth it. We'll continue on with more programming, but right now, this is Scott Spears headed for the dugout. Abe Vigoda, will always miss you. Rest in peace, you dear man. Schrader Computer is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Telephone number